We may take our seats. What a blessing.
What a blessing.
Wow. The TSEs are fantastic, aren't they? Wow. Wow. Young, 6 years. Wow. And then Mike Evans. What a blessing. Amen. You can see greater things ahead.
Amen.
Six. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's good to be here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even though, of course, it's not always the best of circumstances. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But at least this morning, or I think this afternoon, God is going to give us some joy, some good. How do I say something good in spite of all the things that have happened? Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in all things, we just take courage and give glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm always happy to be home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be here with you. And I want to say God bless you all. God bless you all. And I thank God for this church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see that this church, I'm seeing some new faces. Amen.
Amen.
It's good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I pray that I'll get to meet all of you, at least the new people also. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we are a big family. We are a very big, wonderful family. Amen.
Amen.
It's amazing. When the church started, when I first joined the church in New York or in the US from the UK, we're not as many. When we have camps, we will have camps, very few people, 300, 200, and now, I mean, 3,000 and like, hallelujah, we can't even fit in one place. Our problem is looking for space. That is the portion of this church also. I said that is the portion of this church also. Amen. And remember that the greater the numbers, the greater the expectation.
Amen.
The greater the numbers, the greater the miracles.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The greater the numbers, the greater the things that God has for us. Because when there's a mega church, then everything you need, you can find in the church. You can find employment in the church. You can find beloved in the church. Oh, glory. I thought I'd hear amen. So I thought of these louder ones. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Anything you need advice on anything, you find it in the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Medical advice, you find it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's a blessing. Hallelujah. And we thank God as usual for the good pastors. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That are making the church what the church is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for Bishop, our Bishop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Through his leadership, we have all these churches. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And our pastor, Apostle Joel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thought you put your hands together for the Lord.
Amen.
I heard Bishop Ogo came and it was a fantastic time. Hallelujah. Amen. It's very powerful. And I believe, and of course, we have our pastor, Pastor Selassie. Amen. All right. Amen. God has anointed him for you. Amen. Exactly for you. God has anointed him, given him everything at least you need in church. Hallelujah. You have a good pastor who thinks about you, who talks about you, who cares about you genuinely. It's not one of the cliche or one of the phony, yes, or I'm not just saying something that I have to say. He's a good pastor. Hallelujah. And he cares for you. He loves you. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to support him. Of course, you are supporting him. I'm hearing great news. Continue to support him. Hallelujah. And he's very anointed to take you to the next level. I said what? To take you to the next level. And thank God for his assistant. Hallelujah. Look at Evans. Hallelujah. Very, very powerful assistant. And Lady Pastor Rosemary or Araba, you can call her. Hallelujah. So God bless you all and all the shepherds. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all the shepherds and all the helpers and church workers. Hallelujah. I want to just share with us a few words. The Bible says, Jesus said that it is very necessary that he goes away. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if he did not go away, a very important event will not take place. So it was very necessary that Jesus went away. What was so important about Jesus going away? It was important for the Holy Spirit to come. Very good. That's the second. So that we can receive to die. Because without him dying, it wouldn't have worked. So he needed to die because that's why he came. He came to die. To fulfill scripture. Hallelujah. So he needed to go away so that he can die. And his blood will be shed for our sins. And that he will rise from the dead for our justification.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So that when we also die, we will just go and join him. That's why the Bible says that he's the firstborn of the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Or the first fruit of the the firstborn. Or the first to resurrect in the glorified body before many brethren. So we would also rise because he rose.
Amen.
Yes, I thought you put your hands together for the Lord. Because he rose, we will rise also.
Amen.
Because he rose, we will rise in the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then, after that, he also needed to go away secondly. And you can't really say secondly because it's part of the first, because the Holy Ghost needed to come. And without the Holy Ghost, salvation will not really be, it will not work in a certain way, because the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it's the Holy Spirit that takes, because of what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit takes our old nature, the old David, takes that old sinful David out of me.
Amen.
And then puts in a brand new David.
Amen.
That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But that is in Christ because of what Christ did. The Holy Spirit does that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. For if any man... Is that right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Behold. So, therefore, if any man is in Christ, they are a new person, a brand new creation. Before you gave your life to Christ, you were a different person. It was David the sinner. David the murderer, if he hated. David, the womanizer. Yes. Actually, that was actually the name. And many others too, not just me. David, the womanizer. And then God took away that nature and then put in David, the Christian. David, the one who is trying his best. David, the one who wants to serve and please God. David, the one who is not perfect, but God is doing a good work in him and will perfect it. Many people feel that servants of God, God has finished his work in them. That God has finished. But Philippians 1 says, God who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's not finished with some people. He's still working on everyone. Of course, that's not good, because we need to, when we are preaching, we need to try to do what we are preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, we must fix our eyes in a certain way. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. And those who have gone to be with the Lord, they are also part of the cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which that so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is what we're looking for, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, or fixing our eyes on Jesus, not on any man, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross because he could see ahead you and I. The salvation. So there was a joy he was looking forward to. So he endured that cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you and I must fix our eyes on Jesus. And we make it easier for us to fix our eyes on Jesus when we allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. It's easier for us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to allow Jesus Christ to rule in our hearts when we allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. That's why Jesus said that it is very necessary. It is expedient that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the parakletos, the Greek word is parakletos. But you see, that word parakletos is so packed that when you look at different translations of the New Testament, the verse, you see helper, another you see comforter, another you see counselor. Because the word parakletos is more than one word. The English language is limited. But the Greek word, the Greek is, and even the Hebrew, one word means many things. So for example, the parakletos means the one who has been called alongside to help. He is our counselor. He is our helper. He is our advocate. He is our comforter. The Holy Spirit. And that same word parakletos used for the Holy Spirit is the same word parakletos used for Jesus Christ in 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate or a parakletos with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he is our parakletos. So you and I must allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. Many people feel that the grace is just a recital. It is. We need to recite it. That's why we actually do it every day. But the grace gives us some insight to how you and I must relate with the Holy Spirit. I'll quickly give that to you, and then we would continue. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Some people have had a lot to say when we do our share our grace. And I tell them that we are amplifying it. Look at the amplified version. And the grace is just, you can make the grace what you want it to be. Because this was a prayer just like many other prayers in the Bible. Apostle Paul was giving a prayer in 2 Corinthians 13:14. There are other parts of the epistles that Apostle Paul says, may the grace of God be with you. Amen. And or may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and says other things. Amen. Amen. Why don't we also pray those ones too? Then we have to pray all the things, the prayers Apostle Paul prayed for the church. What do you think? Yeah. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the presence of and fellowship, and communion, and sharing together, and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. Amen means so let it be so. So be it. Hallelujah. So, but the grace gives us an insight about how you and I should relate with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came to give grace. The Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is full of grace for us. And God is full of love for us. Remember that it is because of God's love that Jesus came. And then the Holy Spirit, there must be communion. There must be sharing together. There must be fellowship. There must be participation between you and I and the Holy Spirit. But many people don't even speak to the Holy Spirit, or many people don't even realize His presence in their lives. And therefore, do not get the benefit of the Holy Spirit coming. Don't get all the benefits of the Holy Spirit coming. At least they get the salvation and being baptized into Christ and some of the strengthening. But they don't get all the benefits. Jesus said, the way I related with you, the Holy Spirit will relate with you in the same way. Meaning that the Holy Spirit should be able to answer questions for us. The Holy Spirit should be able to explain the word of God to us. Sometimes when Jesus spoke and the apostles did not understand it, what would they do? They would ask Jesus, "Jesus, can you explain this to me?" The Holy Spirit is able to explain the scriptures to us. That's why you and I must ask the Holy Spirit to give us more understanding of His word. So there are certain influences of the Holy Spirit that come upon our lives when we are close to God and we allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the first is that we must stir up our interest and hunger in the Holy Spirit. And we stir it up by talking about the Holy Spirit and when the Holy Spirit is preached. So the more you talk about the Holy Spirit, the more you talk to the Holy Spirit, the more we hear about the Holy Spirit, the more interest and hunger we have. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. In the King James. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with righteousness, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So you and I, we must talk more about the Holy Spirit. We must talk to Him more. We must understand His presence. We must look forward to His presence. We must, because He's the one who has been called alongside to help us. So if the Holy Spirit has been called alongside to help us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to be our help, then it means that every time we are moving around, we must realize that He is alongside us. He is alongside. So you see that the Holy Spirit is walking. He's walking. He's walking. He's holding our hands, walking. And then what we need to do is to ask, I didn't understand this thing that Pastor said. Holy Spirit, can you help me? Then you help. Oh, Lord, I didn't understand this word. Or why did this happen to this person? Or what happened here? Then the Holy Spirit will help us. He will give us more understanding.
Amen.
He will give us answers. Jesus and His disciples were walking. They saw a man born blind. And then the apostles asked, Lord, who did sin that he was born blind? Was it he or his parents? Then Jesus gave them the answer. How many get what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is here to do that for us.
Amen.
But we need to talk to Him. We need to talk about Him. How many are getting what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. And the hunger would result. The more we hear about something, the more hunger we have for that thing. What do you think? Number two, we stir up the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit by praying specifically for the Holy Spirit. Many people pray about so many different things. They pray about work. We need to. They pray about beloveds. We need to, because we need to marry. Amen.
Amen.
It's your portion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see marriages flowing.
Amen.
I said I see marriages flowing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
But we need to talk about it. We need to pray specifically for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't pray only about issues. Pray about issues, because the Bible says that you do not get because you do not pray for it. You do not get because you do not ask. And some people ask but don't receive because they ask amiss.
Rich.
What does it mean to ask amiss? To consume it upon your lusts and your evil desires. Some people ask for the wrong things. But you and I should ask for what we want and then ask for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you and I, who are evil, or at least we make mistakes, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. So if we make mistakes and yet we will not give our child the wrong thing. Look at verse 12. We will not give our child the wrong thing. Verse 10, sorry. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? No father would do that. So if you and I will not do that as fathers, even though we are prone to err, and we make mistakes, and sometimes we don't have the full picture, and we are able to make mistakes, and yet we will not give a stone. Or if he ask a fish, will give him for a fish a serpent? Will you give a dangerous thing to your child when they ask you for fish or meat? Not at all. So if you and I, who are not perfect, will never do such a thing, how much more our Father which is in heaven, who is perfect, give us the Holy Spirit? Or in Matthew 7 says, or give us good things. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have good things. Amen. So sometimes, if you have 5 minutes to spare and you have to pray for something, pray for the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, you will have good things. The Matthew, Mark, Luke are synoptic gospels, meaning that they are similar, versus John, which is different, in a class of its own. John was the beloved. May I and you be, I want to be special to God. I want God to be excited when he sees me. Also, you, yeah. I want to be so precious to God that when God sees me, he's excited. Amen. He smiles. He says, David is not perfect, but David loves me. David is not perfect, but David would defend me. David is not perfect, but David, his heart is for me. Amen. You should also desire that.
I desire.
Yeah. That's more important than anything.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, look at Matthew 7. Let's start from verse 7. Now, synoptic, you see that everything that is said in Matthew 7, 7 to 10 is exactly the same thing you would find in Luke chapter 11 from verse 10 to 13. Ask and it shall be given you. Remember this. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Of course, this means ask and keep asking. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh or keeps on asking receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if the son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask fish will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now the Bible is 100% infallible. Amen. The Bible is 100.0000% sure. Everything is in the Bible is so sure that you can bank on it for past, present, and future, and eternity. Amen. Everything in the Bible is guaranteed to do exactly what it says. Now, when you hear of Peter's mother-in-law being healed, in Matthew and Mark, one version says, and Jesus rebuked the fever and she got up. Another version says, Jesus touched her, rebuked the fever, and he left. What does it mean? When you combine the two, one says Jesus rebuked the fever, another says Jesus touched her. So it means when you combine the two, Jesus touched her, rebuked the fever. They are always the same. Many people think they are contradictions, but they are no contradictions. It's more a different point of view depending on what you are trying to emphasize. And the Gospels emphasize different things. Matthew wanted to show that Jesus was the Messiah, fulfilled scripture. Different. Luke was a historical full account. So they all are trying to say something different. Now, Matthew 7:11 says everything from 7 to 11 is exactly the same as Luke. Now, let's go to Luke. Now, remember the good things here. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? Now, if you go to Luke chapter 11, verse 10, you see, let's start from 9. You see, it's exactly the same thing. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Continue. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? Or for a fish, give him a serpent. Verse 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So you see that there's an addition, but Matthew was not concentrating on that part. But Luke did, because he got the full historical information from all the apostles. So if Luke is saying this, it means that maybe Matthew did not think this was necessary. But it doesn't mean that there's a contradiction. Continue. Verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So everything is the same, apart from an addition, the scorpion, and the replacement of good things with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Clearly, it means that when you have the Holy Spirit, you have all good things. Amen. Hallelujah. So it therefore means that if you want good things, ask God for good things. If you want good things, ask God for the Holy Spirit. When Abraham was looking for God to bless him with a child, God said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I am. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need. So you and I must pray, oh God, I pray that you give me the Holy Spirit. When God gives you and I the Holy Spirit, there will be influences of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, and the Holy Spirit will also cause things to happen beautifully in our lives. The Holy Spirit will influence our lives, influence our character, influence our ability to love, influence our ability to forgive, influence our ability to do the work of God, and also bless our lives. Hallelujah. And give us good things. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's one of the things that Jesus said specifically, pray for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, stir up the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit by having prayer meetings. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This means that we must take prayer meetings seriously. I'm talking about church prayer meetings. It was actually in a church prayer meeting that a miracle happened. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. The Bible also says that when Peter was in jail and James already was in jail and he was killed or slain with a sword, the Bible says that when Herod or when the king or the leader realized that it pleased the Jews that James was slain, then he proceeded to take Peter also to kill him too. So the Bible says that Peter was in jail asleep, getting ready to be killed.
And the saints in the word of God, they were praying. They were praying in the church. They had corporate prayer. There was a church prayer meeting. And as they began to pray, God did a supernatural thing. Do you know what, what he did? An angel came to the prison. And what did the angel do? The angel opened the gate, released Peter. That's through prayer. So when you and I have corporate prayer or prayer meetings, great and mighty things happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, when you have prayer meetings, the Holy Spirit comes in a tangible way. You realize that it was as they were praying that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So many times when Pastor Selassie calls and says, look, let's have a prayer meeting, realize that it is an opportunity not only to have miracles happen, but also to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and speak the word of God with boldness. I'm looking for the time. I think the closest has been someone has seen some smoke. But I'm looking for a time when a service, there'll be a service and the glory will come. Amen. I said there will be smoke.
Amen.
There'll be so much smoke that we can't stand. We'll have to be on the floor. Amen. It happened during Solomon's dedication of the temple, the Shekinah glory. Hey, Shekinah glory. It shall come to pass in Jesus' name. And you can experience it too. This is my desire. I'm telling you, you also have desires. You can receive it and also like that. When the glory cloud will come. Hey. But that happens. They were all in with one accord praying in the temple, and cloven tongues like as of fire came and rested upon their heads. Float. Won't that be awesome? And this is for you and I. It's for you and I. So from now on, I want to encourage you to attend prayer meetings.
Amen.
What the prayer meetings are when? Every other Friday. Imagine, we are together. You see, the apostles and the disciples didn't have phones, cell phones then. When you get to a certain prayer meeting mode, you can't be looking at the cell phone. It will be in sleep mode. The phone, you can't be using the phone. You can't be thinking about the food you're about to eat at home. You cannot be thinking about that guy. Leave the guy alone, leave the guy alone, or at least whilst you are working on things, leave the guy in his house and focus on Jesus there, so that Jesus can blast out whatever thinking you have. When I was struggling in the world, and I was going to club, and after that I'll come to church, fornicating, coming to church, I told the pastor that, you know, pastor, this thing, what's going on? It's not working. Should I just stop?
Yeah.
The pastor worked in the same place I worked. And I said, what do I do? Because I don't want to just be doing the wrong thing. I want to try, but it's not working. I'll come to church from the club, then I'll go to club, go home, get ready, drinking, fornicating, smoking, all the things. Then the pastor said something important. He said, you know what? Don't worry about the things you are doing. Don't even worry. Just continue to come to church. And just have a good time. Just continue to come to church. God will deal with the rest. God will deal with the rest. So I just continue to come to church. Go to the club. Continue. And at a point, because I genuinely wanted to, there are people who want to mix the two. That one, you will not go anywhere. But So I continued until they started dropping off one by one by one by one.
The last two were fornication and alcohol. But God took them out eventually.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will do it for you and I.
Amen.
So don't worry about all those things. You and I must concentrate on the prayer meeting.
Amen.
Don't worry about the people at home. Don't worry about the issues at home. Rather, concentrate on the prayer meeting and the issues would sort themselves out. As you concentrate on it. Also, Pastor Reverend Peter and Reverend Fifi, my pastors, when I was in London. Or if they were my pastors when I was in London, they are still my pastors now, even though I've not talked to them in a while. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, these two. I remember when we were having a prayer meeting because I wanted to serve God. I was still doing the wrong. But I went for a prayer meeting.
Amen.
And they knew. They knew. I didn't hide it from them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're hiding, then you are trying to be.
Yeah.
Yes. So then I went for the prayer meeting and we're praying. Came up praying. Then I asked, why do we pray for ourselves? We are praying. I've come for prayer meeting. New convert. Why don't we pray for ourselves? And they said, they laughed. That was the answer. I didn't get an answer till I understood it. They just laughed. The answer is God. And when Job prayed for his friends, God turned the captivity of Job around when he prayed for his friends. Don't worry about praying for your particular need. Actually, as you are praying for the church or you are praying about things concerning God, God will say, wow, they are not concentrating on their problem. They are praying about my situation. Oh, let me speedily help them. I said, let me speedily help them. Don't worry. When you are coming to church, just if you are in a prayer meeting, concentrate on the topic and you see how God will deal with your issues. Remember that God knows what you need to pray for. God knows your problems even before you pray, number one. Number two, God knows about your problems before they become problems. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And also, God has made provision for your problems before they come. Because God knows the beginning from the end.
Amen.
The end from the beginning.
Amen.
God is outside time. So God, there was a time that God started time. But in eternity, there's no time. So God knows what is happening next month. So he's made provision as we pray.
Hallelujah.
So the devil also doesn't understand what he's even going to do next month. So by the time next month comes, when the devil is ready to attack, there's a blockage. When the enemy raises up a flood against you, a flood, a turmoil, the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard.
Amen.
To remove that flood.
Amen.
To oppose the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number four. Almost closed. Stir up the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit by speaking to yourselves in songs and psalms. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. What do you think? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, or but be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that you and I, it's so important that we allow the Holy Spirit to influence us like alcohol influences people. I have been intoxicated many is the time. Okay? Alcohol. When I was in the world, I could drink half a bottle of hard liquor easily. in at a sitting. Sometimes when I go, I'm in a, it's a long stretch. I can take more than that. So I know how alcohol can affect people. I know very well. I know it. Also, things you did not plan to do. When you are intoxicated, you did not plan to do, but you think about them, you might wind up doing those things, disgracing yourself. I like this guy, but I know I'm not supposed to fornicate, but I like this guy. You take alcohol and you see what will happen. Be drunk with wine, you see. And then you wake up, oh my goodness, what did I do? So alcohol controls, and many people have done things they did not intend to do because of alcohol. I have also done. When I became a Christian, I was trying to change. I drink alcohol, go to a certain wine bar. Yeah. I the next morning, I'm very upset with myself. In the same way, we must allow the Holy Spirit to influence us that way. When the Holy Spirit controls how we move. The Holy Spirit controls what we say. Because sometimes when you are drunk, you can say things you did not intend to say. The Holy Spirit controls us and makes us do things we don't intend to do. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or be continuously filled with the Spirit. You and I must make it a point to be filled. This is continuous. I'm sure you look, let's look at Amplified. We must continue to be filled, but ever be filled and stimulated. Ever be continuously be filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. That's why the apostles were filled with the Spirit a number of times. We must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And when you read the next verse in verse King James, you see that we must speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns. You and I must learn to speak psalms, sing psalms to God. Am I hearing something from somebody? Yeah. We must learn it. It's very important. Hallelujah. So we must speak to ourselves. Many of us must learn to encourage ourselves in song. You've broken up your relationship. Your girlfriend, beloved, or well, whoever has been. Sing to him. I worship as if I'm in church. I'm speaking to him. I'm kneeling down. I'm alone. It's a serious matter. It's a very serious matter, and you are speaking to him. You are worshiping him at home. It must be a daily thing. Worship is a daily thing. And when we are worshiping God, the Holy Spirit would influence us. The Holy Spirit will fill us as we worship, because God inhabits the praises of Israel. And Galatians says you and I are the Israel of God. David had his worship spot, where he worshipped God. He was always in worship. He was always in worship. As the deer panteth for the water, so longeth my soul after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and my shield. But this is a king speaking, and he had many things that he used to fight people. He could have said, my strength and my shield are in my army. But he said, you alone are my strength and my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. What are the other words? I love that song. And I long to worship you. You alone are my heart's desire. Is that your story? But as you worship God, as you have a service, a worship service at home, I love those times when I can just worship him. And when you are alone in his presence and you are worshiping him and you connect, you begin to cry. Not only cry, but at a point you are still. Be still and know that I am God. You are still. And oh man, it's too powerful. And then you are filled. I remember there was a time I was worshiping so much that I felt that something came upon me. And worship. You and I must allow the Spirit of God to influence us, because God longs for our worship. Almost done. Stir up the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit by being thankful. And because I'm visiting, that's why we are. I'm sure Pastor Celeste would have finished by now. So, have just hallelujah. Stir up the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit by being thankful. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it doesn't mean that when you are going, you are bereaved or whatever. Of course, people must understand that there's mourning. Yes, we give thanks for the good things that have happened, but we are still in pain. Hallelujah. But in all things, we give thanks to God. You and I must be thankful when God does something for us. You and I must be genuinely thankful. Sometimes I am concerned when God does something, I'm not as thankful. I remember I heard about a tragedy. Many people died. And I was like, oh my goodness, oh poor people. And I left it at that. I prayed about it. Why I wasn't hurt that many will go to hell. It should concern. It should be. Why wasn't I sad about people going to hell? Those who died, who didn't know the Lord, because that should also be a concern. Hallelujah. We must be concerned, and also we must thank God. Any time something happens, you must pray that you would be a thankful person to God. Meaning that if I cast my mind back and I remember something God did, and I ask myself, how did I respond to God after he did it? Did I just say, oh, we thank God? Or I genuinely thanked him. I was genuinely grateful. Because Jesus is, and the Father, or God, is very specific. God is very interested in how we appreciate what he does. Very, very appreciated. He cares about it. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and 2 that because they were not thankful, one of the problems was that they were not thankful and they did so many other things. But one was that because they were not thankful, God gave them up. In the Old Testament, you see that because many of them were not thankful, God was not happy with them. Jesus Christ, the lepers, only one came to give thanks. And Jesus said, why is it that only one came to give thanks? So it means that God is very interested in our thanksgiving. Even you and I as human beings. When you do something for your child or for someone and they are not thankful, you don't like it. I take my kids to the theaters a lot. Ever since they were children, rising. So I sometimes say, you ungrateful kids. There was a time I took them to watch, I think, Endgame. This was in Cleveland. After taking them to watch Endgame, ever since they were children, I remember my daughter, I'll carry her. I know she was very young, because when she's going to a restaurant, I'll carry her and I'll just carry her. So she doesn't touch. Then I know that it was very long ago. Do you understand? Do you understand what I mean? I carry her. Yeah. So it shows that she was very young. Now, there was a time, the last I took them to watch Endgame, who were coming. It was as if no big deal. I was asking them questions about Snapchat, or I wanted to just something, and you just press this. I said, explain the thing.
Then I got angry and I said, you are ungrateful kids. What is this? You are very ungrateful. I was very upset with them. I won't take you again. What kind of ungrateful kids are these? Of course, it changed. But my point is that if we feel that way, what about God? Mine was because they took the whole thing lightly. They didn't know. So I said, how is God feeling when we take lightly the things he does for us? We take it lightly. So you and I, from now on, let's be thankful indeed. When he does something, know in your heart that it is God who did it, and show appreciation. Oh God, I thank you. Oh God, I give a testimony. Oh God, I want to say thank you indeed. Thank you for the family you've given to me. Thank you for my family, my children. Thank you for health. Thank you for this you've done. Thank you for my business. Thank you for my job. I thank you genuinely. Oh God, I worship you because of what you have done. And that would stir up the gift of God and do a great thing in your life. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. Let's do all we can to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, to strengthen us, and God will bless us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not out of word, I'm just out of time.
Shall we stand to our feet?
Let's speak to God. Let's ask the Lord to be gracious unto us. Thank you. Ask God to fill us with his Spirit. Ask God for the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help. To help. To help. To help. To help. Help.
And the water soaked my soul longer than to thee.
Oh, yes. Let God know that you really mean it.
one more time. By all means, we long for you, Jesus. We long for you. We long to be with you. We long to worship you. We desire you, your presence. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Whilst we are in prayer, if you are here this afternoon and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are not born again, you are not saved, you know in your heart that you are far away from God, you know that if you die today, you don't know whether you would go to heaven, you want to be close to God, you want a relationship with Jesus, and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want the new birth experience. Please raise your hands and I'll pray with you. Just raise your hands higher. Shall we all repeat after me? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
All my sins.
Cleanse me.
From all
unrighteousness. From today, I belong to Jesus Christ.
From today,
I purpose in my heart
to allow the sweet influences
of the Holy Spirit
to work upon every area of my life.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We may take our seats. We are about to move on to the next part of the service.